You know, in my flesh this morning, nothing wanted to come here today. Do you know that? Do you know that even pastors go through attack on their mind and on their flesh? Discouragement tries to come on pastors. The fear of people still tries to come on a pastor. Do you know that? The devil still tries to get you to want to quit, to want to lay down, to want to hide. Still tells you you're not good enough, even when you're a pastor. So when you've got those thoughts coming against you, you rebuke them. You know what I was doing up here? I was stirring myself up, and I was stirring you up with me. Because I sense that there are some of us that came in here today, and the devil tried to tell us, don't come. The devil tried to tell you, you don't want to be there. The devil tried to tell you, you weren't coming to get your answer. You weren't going to leave change. You might as well just quit now. If that's you, you don't have to raise your hand, but just expect that now that you've opened your heart, that the devil can't come in. We've praised God through it, and we're going to move on and get what he's got for us to get today. Amen. We move on with him. We go from glory to glory. I thank the Lord that we can go from glory to glory. I thank the Lord that I am not the thoughts that try to come against me. I am not the way my body feels. I am not the symptoms. I am not the circumstance. I am who he said I was. I am what he said I was going to be. I'm going to do what he said I'm going to accomplish. I'm going to move on and go from glory to glory every single day. I'm not going backwards. I'm not quitting. I'm not rolling down the hill. I will get over those mountains. I'll get past those storms. I'm going to the other side, and you're going with me if you choose to. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. He is good. He is good. Well, I'm going to try to get to this message today here, but you know, I have a feeling the Lord might have some other things to do, but we'll just seek him. I feel like I can go in this direction. The title of today's message is called Your Divine Makeup. Your Divine Makeup. We might as well know who God made us to be and how God designed us. We might as well know what he put in us and who we are so that we can do what he's called us to do and be who he's called us to be. Amen. Why don't you go ahead and turn to Genesis 1:26. I love this. I love the word of God. I love that you stir yourself up. You know, people in the world think you're foolish. What's she doing up there? She's yelling. She's just going on and on and on and on and on, praising God. You know what? That changes things. Yeah. That's your answer. That's your help. And I thank the Lord for it. Praise God. He is so good. Genesis 1:26. God said, when God's going to speak, he's going to say something important. So we might as well listen. Yeah. Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Wait a minute. What does it say? Let man have dominion? Praise God. You think that you don't have dominion. You forget about your authority. Don't forget it. In the beginning, in the very first book of the Bible, God said, let man have dominion. Let man be in control. Let man have authority on this earth. Hallelujah. Now the devil came. He tempted mankind early on in the garden. We know that. And he took that dominion away from them because they handed it over. But Jesus came. He paid the price so we could have it again. So we've got dominion, you know, we want to remember that, we don't want to lose that. That's not part of the message, but it's so good and it's in the word that we can't skip over that. We've got dominion. And you know, what I really want to get to is that we were made in the image and the likeness of our Creator. And that part of that is our dominion, and part of that is our makeup and how we were created and what parts of the human were created. And we're going to talk about those three parts today. We're going to talk about the three parts of man that coincide with God here, that are part of God's image as well. So I just want you to look. God says, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. He's talking about more than one being. God is actually a three-part being. God is God, the Heavenly Father, Jesus, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three parts. God is a three-part being. And he created man to be a three-part being as well. We're going to go here. Well, I better just show you in the Word in case you've never heard that. Look at 1 John 5:7 just to see God's three-part nature. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word is Jesus, okay, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. So you say, well, how can there be three parts of God? Well, God is God, okay? God is God. God is beyond human reasoning, okay? God is three parts. He's the Father, the Word, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Let's go ahead and find out how we were made in his image. Okay, why don't you go ahead down to 1 Thessalonians 5:23. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. So there's three parts that make up God. There's three parts that make him up, and he said he was going to create mankind to be made in his image and in his likeness. And he made mankind with three parts as well. Now, some people don't understand this and probably have never been taught that. We're going to go through it today so you understand your DNA, so to speak, who you are, how you were made. You know, so many people, they spend all this money going out and trying to find out their ancestors and what their makeup is, but we have it in the Word. It tells us who we really are right here in the Word. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So God said, you have three parts. You've got three parts just like God has three parts. You've got a spirit. You are a spirit. You've got a body, and you have a soul. Your soul is your mind. Okay? And we're going to break down today, and we're going to look at all three of those parts of mankind, because there's some important things we need to understand. You know, those thoughts I was talking about that were coming against me this morning, trying to make me not want to come here this morning. You know, I was driving here today, and the thought came, you're going to get in an accident, and you're not even going to be able to get to church today. Do you know that thought came to me this morning? I was like, I rebuke that thought. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous, but you've probably had those thoughts yourself. You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it to your daughter's wedding. You're going to die before then. Or you're not going to make that vacation. Your car's going to break down. You're going to run out of money. Or did you hear what they were doing over there? They're going to probably hurt me. Someone's going to kidnap one of my kids. All those thoughts come against you. Am I the only one who has those thoughts try to come against you? Or that you have a sore leg and you think, oh my gosh, something's wrong with my leg. I'm probably gonna die, right? I mean, before you know it, these thoughts roll and roll and roll, and they get so out of whack that you can't even cast them down anymore. So what did I do when that thought that said, you're gonna get in an accident, your husband's resting, you're not gonna be able to use your phone and call anybody, and there's gonna be nobody to do the sermon today? That thought came to me in about 2 seconds. As I'm driving here. No, I rebuked that thought. I'm driving safe. My car works fine. I live a mile away. I'm going to make it here today. Hallelujah. But I just wanted to tell you that that's not who I am. That thought is not the real me. God didn't put that thought in me. He didn't make me to think that way. That's a different part of us that thinks, so, that has those things. And so we're going to talk about that, because we think, you know, that we are our thoughts sometimes, and we're just not. So, you know, my husband, he goes away for the ministry sometimes, and when he comes home, he always brings us each a little gift. He brings me earrings, because if you know me, I love earrings. And it's funny, because you never can surprise me, because I always know they're earrings, right? But I get a new pair of earrings every time he goes away, and I kind of giggle. I'm like, what'd you get me? Oh, earrings. And I'm like, what'd you get the boys? Knives, right? Some sort of pocket knife. And Ezra, she's the only one who gets something different, right? Well, one time he brought her home those Russian dolls. You know those Russian dolls that you take apart? And, you know, I was visualizing this three-part nature of man, and these Russian dolls were coming to mind. And I almost brought them today, but then I thought I might be fumbling and dropping them anyway. So anyway, these Russian dolls, you take the outer shell off, right? It's bigger. It's the first thing you see. Once you twist it and take it off, then you get to a smaller layer, right? And you twist that and you take it off, and eventually there's this teeny tiny little one on the inside. Well, these Russian dolls, to me, kind of represent this three-part nature of man. We've got the body. We've got this physical part of us, right? We've got the part that you see. When you look at me, you see my physical characteristics. You see my dark hair. You see my brown eyes. You see my earrings, right? You see the shell, right? And nobody sees the inside of your mind unless they're a doctor and they're looking, you know, with machines and stuff. Nobody sees the inside of your mind, but nobody doubts that it's there, right? Everybody knows everybody's got a mind, and nobody, thank the Lord, most people don't know what you're thinking and what's coming through your mind on a given basis, right? Most people, if I hadn't told you, I had that thought that I was going to crash and all this stuff, and if I hadn't told you those thoughts of just wanting to quit were coming to me today, you would have had no idea, because I would have got up here, I'm standing up here, I'm smiling, I'm praising the Lord, and you would have thought, oh, everything's great for her. Well, it is going great for me because I choose to let it go great. I choose to put those thoughts behind me, right? I choose to not accept them. But anyway, most people wouldn't doubt that you have a mind, right? But when you chip away even further, you've got the hidden man of the heart. You've got the true being, the one that God created, and that's our spirit. We are a spirit. We live in a body, and we have a mind. We are three parts, just like God is three parts. So we're going to break down these three parts, and we're going to get to the hidden man, and we're going to find out the things that try to come against us and stop us from really being who the real person was that we were supposed to be, that we are supposed to be. Your body, like I said, is literally your physical flesh. It's your skin, it's your hair, it's your bones, it's your muscles, it's all those things that make a human body. It is your physical being. It is the place that your spirit takes up residency. Remember, you know, in the Old Testament, God lived in the Ark of the Covenant. His presence was in the Ark of the Covenant. You know, people would go into temples, and we'd hear about the temples. And you couldn't get really close to God. His presence was on the outside. But then in the new covenant, when Jesus came, after Jesus came and paid the price, God came to live on the inside of man, literally inside of our spirits, inside of that shell that he's created. So our body is a temple. It's the building. So, you know, we talk about keeping the building here excellent for God. We need to think about our bodies that same way. We've got to keep our bodies excellent for God and do our best. That's where your spirit lives. That's where its shell. That's that outer layer. Your soul is the seat of the feeling, the desires. A lot of people think feelings and emotions are of the spirit. That's of the mind, you know, and God designed us with these parts. He likes when we have emotion. I mean, I cry often tears of happiness, and I'm glad for it. It's a good thing. You know, we have joy. That's an emotion. We have sadness that tries to come against us. These are emotions, right? And your emotions, your thoughts, your feelings, your affections, you know, the love that you think about when you first meet your husband or wife, the first, like the butterflies in your stomach, that's your soul, that's the emotions, that's the mind realm of us, okay? But our inner man, the one who we really could call us, who we really are, that's our spirit. And that, I want to show you this. Let's see here. Why don't you go ahead to 1 Corinthians 2:14? You know, literally, our spirit is the life that God breathed in us. It's who he created us to be. Our spirit is eternal. Our flesh, it won't last forever, right? But our spirit, it's eternal. It'll go on forever and ever. Whether we choose to go to heaven or we choose not to, it'll go on forever. It never goes away. Our spirit is eternal. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." I can't fathom in my natural mind, I can't fathom eternity. I can't even think about that, because I think eternity, I mean, we think in space and time. We think of days and weeks and hours and years. We don't think about eternity. We can't fathom that in our natural minds. We know it because the Word says it. If you're a Christian, you understand that eternity is the truth. But in your mind, you can't think about it. You don't understand that. It's spiritually discerned. In your spirit, you know, the Scripture says that the Holy Spirit within you lets you know, it tells you, it bears witness that you're a child of God. In your mind, you can't understand how salvation works. In your mind, you can't understand how Jesus dying for us on the cross and rising again, how that made us to get to go to heaven. In your mind, you can't understand that. They're spiritually discerned. But there's something in the inner man, there's something on the inside of you that tells you, yes, this is the truth. This is the truth. See, we have a spirit on the inside of us. It's how we understand who we really are. Amen? So we have three parts living as one. We're a soul, we're a spirit, we live in a body, we have a soul. Let's talk first about our body. Let's talk about our body. The body, you all know very, very well, right? And the more time you are on earth, the more time you're in your body, you learn more and more about it, don't you? When you're a little baby, you know, I was watching Gemma out there, and I watched Sophia. Sophia's got this kick right now where she's sticking her tongue out and touching her bottom lip, and I've been noticing her doing that, and I'm like, she's discovering her body. She's like figuring things out, right? And I love it. And I see Gemma, and she like pokes at Sophia. She's like, you got a body too. She doesn't quite understand. They don't even know. They're just like, what is this thing? They can't even talk yet. They're not even registering that they're a body. They barely register that they have human needs. They just know if they're uncomfortable and they cry, right? But the more time you spend in your body, the more acquainted you become with your body. And that's why a lot of times, as you're an adult, the more you're alive on this earth, the harder it is to be in spiritual things, because the flesh wants to talk to you so much. You know, and when we're used to spending so much time building the flesh and living in the flesh, it becomes very hard sometimes to put that under, right? But our body, that's that part of us. It's the physical part of us. Well, let's look here at John 3, verse 3. We gotta be excited to hear about the Word of God. Not every message you're going to hear in the pulpit is going to be a hooting and hollering, screaming, jumping up and down kind of a message. You've got to stir yourself up. You've got to love the Word just as much as you love the supernatural experience. You've got to love the Word of God. Otherwise, it won't change your life. You've got to choose to listen and love what you get out of the Word. Amen. John 3:3 says, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So Jesus is talking to a Pharisee. He's talking to one of those religious naysayers, the ones who knew everything about the Bible, but they didn't know about Jesus and didn't believe in him. So they weren't really knowledgeable. They were mentally understanding the Bible, but not in their spirit. And so Jesus is saying to them, to Nicodemus, he's saying, you can't see the kingdom of heaven unless you are born again, right? That's John 3:3. And then in verse 4, he says, Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Well, surely, of course, you know, we know the answer to that. Nicodemus is being, you know, a naysayer. What are you talking about? How can a man be born again? An adult can't be born again. I'm sorry, but I'm sure that Rachel's pretty glad that Mark wasn't just born out of her, right? I know that's crazy, but right? I mean, it's ridiculous, right? So Nicodemus knows it's ridiculous, and he's just trying to be condescending. And Jesus, condescending to Jesus. Interesting, right? People don't think they would do that, but most people do that every day. Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. See, our flesh can't understand the things of the Spirit. Our flesh is our flesh. It's our shell. It's our temple. It is not who we truly are. And you know, I'll speak to the ladies just because I am one and I understand the thoughts that go on in your head. Maybe, you know, the more time he's been around, it's not the same as when you were 15 years old. You know, I teach high schoolers and they are physically fit and they can do a whole lot of things and they're skinny and they're tiny and they're wearing these, you know, little shirts and things and they fit them. And I'm like, man, I remember when I was teeny tiny like that, and I remember when I could do all those things, and I remember when I didn't get tired out climbing a mountain. But, you know, the longer time goes on, you know, you get well acquainted, like I said, with your body, and it changes. And so, ladies, that's not the real you anyway. Men, that's not the real you anyway. We need to take care of the temple, but we need to be careful not to be vain about those things. We need to be careful not to worry about our appearance as a pride thing. You know what I mean? We need to be careful about that, because that's not the true us anyway. You know, so our body is not born again, obviously. When you got saved, you still looked the same, didn't you? You didn't change. You didn't get 10 years younger in your body. You didn't all of a sudden have hair where you didn't have hair, you know, on top of your head before. You all of a sudden didn't, you know, become like this perfect, what do you call it? What's the man? Leonardo da Vinci. What's that perfect man that he did? What is it? Yeah, you're not buff. You're not, you know, all of a sudden you're not like this perfect. When we go to heaven someday, we'll be in our perfected body. Hallelujah. but when you get born again here, your body doesn't get born again. Your flesh is still your flesh. Your flesh still wants the things it always had. Your flesh still wants the things you always gave it. You know, I try to tell my daughter, You don't want all those sweets. I know cookies are awesome. I know candy is awesome. I know potato chips are awesome. They taste really good, but you don't want them because when you're my age, you're going to have a hard time putting them down if you train your body to always have what it wants. And it's the same thing with addictions. It's the same thing with relationships you shouldn't have. It's the same thing. You know, when we train our body to have what it wants, our flesh to have what it wants, it's going to be hard to put those things down. You know, our body has not been born again. We have to present our body blameless. We have to present our body approved unto God. You know, so your body will tell you things that aren't good. Your body will tell you things that you want that you shouldn't have. But your body sometimes will tell you things that are important. You know, God designed our body. He designed us to be three parts. He designed us to have a body, to have natural needs, to have, you know, natural things that would help us. Right. You know I'm thankful that when I feel thirsty, my body kind of reminds me, my mouth starts to get dry, which it is right now, actually. My mouth starts to get dry and say, you ought to take a sip of water. And I'm thankful that God designed my body to be able to have a sip of water, and it's a good thing, right? Sometimes you'll feel very, very tired, and your body will be trying to tell you, you got to take a rest, you got to take a nap. You know, the younger you are, and it seems the older you are, the more those naps come in handy. Unless you're Caleb, who would sleep 16 hours a day if we let him. So for some reason, there's a window of teenagers, a window in teenage life that it's like, can I just sleep 24 hours a day? I don't know what happens there. But anyway, some things your body tells you are good, right? I've even had my body tell me, you know, I've had a craving for something I've never had a craving for. Or randomly, I'm like, I feel like I need bananas. And so I heed that. Sometimes I'm like, well, if I need a banana, now if it tells me I need chocolate, that's one thing. But I'm like, well, if I'm craving a banana's good for me. I should probably eat a banana, you know. And the Lord will help you, you know, and guide you and things like that as well. And that's not superstitious or weird. That's, you know, your body knows what it needs sometimes. God designed us that way. I know that Pastor Nancy Laketic, you know, she had had some symptoms in her body for a long time. And she couldn't figure out what was going on with her body. And all of a sudden, the Lord showed her that it was hot peppers. That it was hot peppers, that if she would cut out the hot peppers and cut out the spice, all of it would go away. And sure enough, all those problems that she was having went away. Now, you may not be having problems in your body caused by hot peppers, but you may be from coffee, or you may be from too much sugar, or you may be from not eating enough protein, or you may be from not eating enough fruits and vegetables. Your body will tell you what you need. The Lord will help guide you in that. He gave us these good things to take care of us, you know. And so we want to feed our flesh and take care of our temple and make sure that our temple is well cared for the Lord. But we don't want to make our body the highest and the biggest voice of our life. We don't want to give into it so much that all we can do is give into our body or it won't shut up. You know, I think about, I used to work at a grocery store. I was a cashier for many years. And I remember kids coming, and they do this. It's strategic. All the candy is right there at the checkout line. And if you've ever had Have you ever seen kids want that candy? It's tempting. It's good, you know? And they're like, can I have that? Can I have that? Can I have that? And I would see parent after parent, no, you can't. No, no, not today. And probably because they're like $2 a candy bar now, which is crazy. They used to be a quarter. Even in my lifetime, they were a quarter for a candy bar. Now they're like $2. I'm like, no, you're not getting candy bars. $2, if that's 10 bucks for you each day at a candy bar, that's not good for your body anyway. Anyway, rant over. But anyway, you've seen the kids who say, please, 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 can I have it? Please, 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 Mom, please, Mom, please, 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 please. No, you can't have it. I want it! I want it! Please, please, please! Shh, you're embarrassing me. Stop it. Stop it. Shh, shh. And so what did some of the parents do? All right, just take it. Fine, stop. Just stop screaming. Stop it. You're embarrassing me, right? And guess what happens the next time you go to the store? Oh, can I have that candy bar? Please, can I have it? Can I have it? Can I have it? I want it. I want it. I want it. I want it. And then you're like, no, you can't say no anymore because you already keep giving into it. Well, you can say no, but when you say no that first time, it's really hard to say no, isn't it? It's really hard when you say no that first time. It may be hard when you say no the second time. It may be hard when you say no the third time. You may walk out of there crying. You may walk out of there feeling like, I'm so mortified, I'm embarrassed, I'm ashamed, I can't believe I had to go through that. You may feel that way. And that's an illustration of what the flesh tries to do to a Christian. I know it's not good for you. I know it's not good, you know, I know your spirit knows it's not good for me. I know I shouldn't be watching that trash on TV. I know I shouldn't be watching it. If a movie's got 75 F words, come on, Christian. I'm sorry, I'm not telling you can't watch TV, but that's ridiculous. We should not be putting that into our minds. We should not be feeding ourselves with that. You know, so you may have to put those things down. If your body's calling out for drugs, you've got to say no. If you know, and I'm not getting down on anybody if you smoke or you drink, you know, things have to be worked out of us. Our body wasn't born again. And if we've given those things to our body for so long, our body wants them. But we may have to say, no, I'm not giving that to you. I'm not doing it. And your body will scream at you. Your body will say, I want it. Give it to me now. I want it. And you may have to walk out of there crying. You may have to walk out of there crying and say, that was so hard to say no. It was so hard to stop. You may have to walk out of there crying again next time. You may have to walk out of there crying again next time. It may take a while of crying and feeling like I can't. But we've got to say no at some point or our flesh starts to take over. We have a body. We are not a body. We have a body. Galatians 6:7. Hallelujah. God is good, you know. We want to make sure that we're taking care of our bodies the right way and we're not giving into the things that our body shouldn't have. This is not judging. This is, I deal with this too. Do you know I used to smoke? I had to stop smoking. I used to drink. I had to put that down. Right. You know, I even used to do drugs. Did you know that in high school? I used to even do drugs. I had to say no. I had to stop it. I had to stop. You know, I've not always lived the perfect Christian life. I don't live the perfect Christian life now. I still have temptations try to come against me. But at some point, we have to say no. Let's stop. I can't have it anymore. I know it's taken over, and I'm not having it. So don't get mad at me, because the Word of God tells us the truth. You know, and you know it's true, too. And so if your toes are getting stepped on, say, ouch, hallelujah, and let's move on. And let's just go higher and find out who we really are. Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. You know, when you sow or you put in things that aren't good for you, your body will deteriorate. We know it. It's natural. It's a law set in motion. We know that to be true. So we have to work on sowing more to our spirit than to our flesh. And we will reap of the Spirit everlasting life. Hallelujah. So sooner or later, you know, you gotta decide. Am I going to give into my body or am I going to put it under so I can get more into the Spirit, who I really am, the true me? You know, I used to watch a TV show, Survivor, and I know there's like a lot of bad things that could be on that show, so I'm not like saying go watch it, you know. But I grew up watching Survivor, and I loved it. I loved the competitions of it all, because I'm actually a competitive person. I'm not real good at anything, but I'm actually a competitive person. And I remember these people, they would have to stand on these, like, it was like a log. It was like a telephone pole in the middle of the ocean in, like, nothing, in, like, 100-degree weather with wind and sometimes rain and even storms. And they have to stand on this pole. And then after a while, they'd be told, you got to balance on one foot. And now when you're on one foot, you're not standing there very long. You're either going to decide to put one foot back down or you're going to fall off. See, when we're in the kingdom of God, when we're a Christian, we've got to decide, how long am I balancing one foot in the world and one foot with God? Because at one point, at some point, regardless of whether you like it or not, you'll either fall in or you'll decide that I'm staying with God and I'm going to stay planted. See, we've got to make a decision. That's an illustration. That's what he says, you know, if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you're going to have everlasting life. But at some point, we've got to choose. We've got to make a choice. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Let's look at Romans 12:1. Hallelujah. The word is good. Truth in the word. You know, this word was written all these years ago, inspired by the Lord. People will say, well, the Bible was just written by men. Well, yes, written by men, inspired by the Holy Spirit, confirmed time and time again, confirmed over and over and over again, confirms itself one scripture to the next. I don't know how man could figure that out. They couldn't, because God, it was a divine book, a divine manual for our life, a divine book that tells us everything we'd ever need to know. It's written for today. It's relevant today. We don't have to try to be relevant. We try to take the word of God for what it really means and live by that. Hallelujah. Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It doesn't say which is something you could choose to do. It says it's reasonable. It's reasonable when Jesus paid the price for you. It's reasonable when Jesus died on the cross for you. It's reasonable when he gave it all, when God gave it all for you. It's reasonable that you work your best to present your body, your soul, and your spirit blameless, as living sacrifices. That's what God wants. When he said earlier, you know, I pray your whole body, spirit, soul, your spirit, I should say, body and soul be presented blameless at the coming of the Lord. How do we do that? We do it. We have to choose. We have to decide. We have to present it. We have to step into what's a reasonable service according to the word of God. It's reasonable. And 1 Corinthians 9:27, it's just confirming this. But I discipline my body. I do it. I take charge over my body. I discipline it. I say, no, you're not getting that candy bar. Yeah. And I don't care how much you scream at me. I don't care how much you embarrass me. I don't care how much you make me cry. I don't care. You're not getting it. Yeah, right. I discipline my body. I bring it into subjection. Lest when I have preached to others, when I've gone out and told others about Jesus, when I've gone out and put the name Christian on my back, when I've gone out and let everybody know that I'm a Christian, if I'm not disciplining my body, I myself should become disqualified. You know, and listen, this is not you have to be perfect. This is not you have to have figured it all out day one. No, our bodies weren't born again. We have to work towards that. We have to strive towards that. We have to discipline. We have to. Does discipline work with a child the first time? Does it? How many times have you had to tell your kid to go to sleep and then they got out of bed? A million, yeah. And then you say, go back to bed. You're not allowed to get out of your bed. It's nighttime. You're not allowed to get out of bed. Or how many times have you had to tell your kids to clean their room and they haven't cleaned it? It takes a while. You got to say, get back in there. You got to clean your room. Well, I cleaned it last week. Well, you got to clean it again today. How many times? You got to continually discipline. Your body will need to be continually disciplined. Hey. I know when somebody's, when you start hearing giggling about kids' room not being clean, oh boy. Anyway, praise the Lord. But it's a continual thing. Sometimes you have to discipline your body second by second. Sometimes your body will have a craving second by second. You have to say no, 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 no. And you may make it 1 hour and you're like, I don't know how I just made it an hour. Well, let's try for two. And once you've made it two, let's try for three. And once you've made it a whole day, let's try for a second day. Let's keep our body under. Let's bring it into subjection. Let's discipline it. And you have to it takes effort. Go back to it. Say no. Let's try again. And if you fall, if you fell in the water, well, praise the Lord, you can get back up. Right? You can get back up. Well, praise the Lord. Let's start talking about our, you know what? This is how you discipline your body. This is one verse you need to hear. Mark 14:38. Hallelujah. Mark 14:38. It says, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So if your flesh is weak, if you feel like, my gosh, I feel like my flesh is the worst in the world. I'm like the worst person in the world. I somehow can never say no. Why am I so messed up? Have you ever had that thought? Like, why am I such a failure? No, the word tells us in Mark 14:38, it says the flesh is weak. Everybody's flesh overall, flesh of mankind, it's weak. So if you feel, if the devil's trying to tell you that you're weak, that you're a loser, that you're a failure, that you've got the worst flesh in the world, you tell him to shut up. No, the flesh is weak. God told me it would be weak. My spirit's willing, and all I need to know is my spirit's willing. All I need to know is the true man, the true one on the inside of me is willing. And if I work, if I just work with the spirit, if I just work with God, then I can get there. I can get there. Yes, the flesh is weak. Who cares the flesh is weak? The spirit is willing. Hallelujah. Well, let's talk about the mental realm, the mind, the soul. Go ahead and turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Hallelujah. The word is so good. Love the word. I love the truth. I love to know that I'm not the only one that has flesh that tries to work against me. I love to know that I'm not the only one that wants to do right and has to really work at it. I'm glad that I'm not the only one. I'm glad the Bible told me that. I'm glad the Bible let me know that humans, mankind, we all deal with that. Because the devil will make you feel alone, like you're the only one, like you're the one who's the worst. And you're not. We all deal with it. And we all deal with it in different ways. You know, somebody might be tempted in one thing, and somebody can say, I've never been tempted in that. Somebody else is tempted in something else, and you can say, well, I've never been tempted in that. Who cares? The flesh is weak. We're all tempted. So we might as well just know we're all tempted. And if it's something that comes in your mind that doesn't line up with God, well, then we rebuke it, and we try to work against that and do the will of God over what the flesh is telling us. 1 Peter 2:11. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul. So we've been talking all about the flesh and the lust, the things that the flesh craves. And it says here in the scripture that those things that your body calls out to, they war against your mind. They fight with your mind. You know, they work hand in hand. If you stub your toe, it tells you, it goes up. There's signals that come right to your mind that say, ow, that hurt, right? They work together. And so your flesh will say, I have a craving, and your mind will say, just do it. Give into it. Give into it. Just do it. And that's the mind part of it all. But it says here that we're pilgrims. We're here. We're not from this earth. We live on this earth, but we're not of this earth. We're here staying for a time until we move into eternity, right? But the soul is not born again either, right? So our body is not born again. We didn't go back in the womb and get born again physically. And our mind doesn't get born again either. So we have to train our mind. We have to teach our mind how to live according to what the spirit really wants to live. And so we're talking about that today because a lot of people think that you're just made up of the body and the soul, the body and the mind. You may even hear, you may not even have ever heard anybody tell you that the truth is that you're a spirit being. You may have never even heard that before, but it's true. And our mind is part of us, but it's not who we truly are. You know, we're really, as a society, we know very well how to feed our mind. We know very well how to grow our minds, how to teach our minds and grow our intellect. We have colleges, universities, trade schools. We've got books. We've got articles, you know, newspapers. We've got documentaries. We've got all these things that can feed our minds out there, tons. The world is very well aware of everything you can put into your mind. And there's some of those things are okay, but some of those things are not so good. So we need to be really careful of how we are filling our minds. You know, we've got to make sure that what we're thinking about and what we're putting into our minds is stuff that lines up with the Word of God. Because it says here that the flesh wars against your mind. The flesh is already going to try to get you to go in that direction. The mind is going to go with whatever's stronger. If you're building your spirit up and you can keep your mind meditating on the things of the Lord, then you're going to be more likely to control your flesh so you don't go in that direction. But if you're giving your mind everything that is opposite the Word of God, you know, if you're putting music in your mind that's talking about things that are opposite the Word of God, then that's what's going to get in your mind. Yeah. You know, when I was in college, I had to take this course where I had to sculpt the entire human body, and I had to learn every bone and every muscle in the entire human body, and I had to label it on a diagram, and I had to know this stuff to be a sculptor, to learn how to sculpt the body, because the theory was that if you don't really know the parts of the human body, then you're not going to really physically sculpt it properly. And so I had to memorize this. Well, that's not like how I'm wired. I don't like that at all. And I was like, how am I going to remember that? So I wrote a song, you know, and I sang from head to toe, every single muscle and bone in the body, and I sang that song every day on the way to college and every day on the way home, and I don't know it now, you know why? Because I stopped putting it in me. Oh, no, I don't even remember all the things. I think the only one I remember is clavicle. And anyway, so I got it in my head. The point is I got it in my head by singing it, by constantly hearing that song in my head. And so that's the power of music, the power of music to get into your head, to remind you and to be. I mean, I could be singing a song. Somebody could sing a line of a song and could be in the supermarket, and maybe the song I Like Big Butts came on. I know that's crazy, right? It's a real song. Don't go looking it up. You all know that song. So then by the time I'm in my car, I'm like, I like big butts. What? And you're singing it. That's how music will get in your head. So you have to be careful about things like music. You have to be really careful. Because if it starts singing about, there was a song in high school, it was Mambo Number 5. It was really popular when I was in high school. And it was like, a little bit of this woman, a little bit of that woman, a little bit of this woman, a little bit of that woman. And I was like, oh my goodness, I'm singing this song every day. It's loud on the radio. My kid, you know, everybody's singing it, and it's all about adultery. It's all about sleeping and getting, you know, having lots of girlfriends, right? And I'm like, oh my goodness. So you have to be careful about things like that. You have to be careful about watching movies and TV shows. And listen, I'm not saying you can't ever do these things. You know, I'm not saying you can't ever listen to music or watch movies or, you know, things like that. But you got to be careful about what they are. You know, if you're watching a show and the husband is cheating on his wife, then you start thinking, oh my gosh, my husband acted like that one time. I wonder if my husband's doing that. And before you know it, you've got your husband moving next door with your neighbor in your mind, and you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe he's, you know. And by the time you have figured all these imaginations out in your mind, you're like, oh my gosh, that wasn't even true. It was like me driving the car this morning and saying I'm going to get in an accident. I could have cried. I could have pulled over and said, I don't feel safe driving. Something's going on. My car might be breaking down. Oh my goodness. No, I just rebuked it because I knew it wasn't true. I knew it wasn't true. So we have to be careful. You know, we feed our minds. It's good. I have a master's degree. I've fed my mind many years. But I don't put in things that are going to war against the spirit, that are going to be opposite of what God wants to do in my life. The soul, the mind, is the mediator between the body and the spirit. It can go either way. You know, the body is saying, do this. And the spirit is saying, no, come over this way. Do it this way. And the mind has to kind of make the decision. The mind is the battleground. In fact, I wrote this down. This was inspired. The soul is the mediator between the body and the spirit, and it constantly gets pulled in either direction. Our minds are the battleground, and our aim should always be to let our spirit win that territory. Hallelujah. Our mind should always, our spirit should win. Our spirit should win every time. That should be our aim. That should be our goal. So we feed on the Word of God. We come to church. You're all here today, so you're already doing the first part. You come to church, you hear the Word of God. You leave church, you feed. You continually meditate on it. You remind yourself of that. You know, surely when you leave here today, there's going to be some sort of temptation. Well, you decide, am I going to put under that temptation or am I going to give in to it? You decide. You know, today may be the day that the child throws the fit in the supermarket aisle and you leave crying. But let's let it be the day that you leave crying and you don't give in and into the temptation, amen? Because the mind will go with whatever one is stronger. Hallelujah. Colossians 3:2, you can just pull it up here. Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. So you're like, well, I live in the earth. How do I do this? Because you know what? You don't actually even have to try to get your mind on things of the earth because you're here all the time. You don't even have to think about it. It's already there. So we actually have to work to set our mind on the things above. And we do that by getting into our scripture ourselves, by singing praises. You know, I sing songs all the time to the Lord. I come here, I sing songs to the Lord. I'm at home by myself. I'm singing songs to the Lord. I'm reading the scripture. I'm talking about the Word of God with other people. You know, that's how I'm continually trying to set my mind on things above. And that's how I'm going to make sure that my mind and my focus isn't here just on this earthly realm. Because I'm a spirit. I am a spirit, and I just live here. Proverbs 23:7. This is a short scripture. You can either turn there or just pull it up. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. And that's all I wanted to get at. As you think, that's how you're going to be. If you're always thinking about it, that's where you're going to go. You can't turn a direction when you're driving a car unless you thought, oh, I think I'll turn, right? Your car doesn't go automatically in that direction. You had to think, I'm going to turn. If you aren't thinking, I'm going to get up and go to church, you're not going to get up and go to church. You've got to choose to think those things. You've got to choose. You know, your thoughts can destroy your life from the inside out without you even knowing it. I said earlier, you can have this imagination. One thought comes to you, one thing sparks something in you, and all of a sudden, you've created this turmoil, this tragic situation, the end of the world in your life. We've got to be careful to continually put our thoughts back where they need to be. Praise the Lord. I wrote this down too. The Lord has given me some things. If you aren't careful to pluck up those wrong thoughts, pretty soon you will look back and wonder how you became this person you never wanted to be. It happens. It happens. Because as we think, so are we. As man thinks in his heart, so that's what he'll become. So we need to make sure that we are doing what this says in 2 Corinthians 10:5. I love this scripture because this is the solution. This is what we do. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. If something's in captivity, it's bound, it can't do what it wanted to do. We bind those thoughts by giving, answering back with the word of God. You know, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he had all the temptation to quit, he did not want to die on the cross, by the way. In his flesh, in his mind, he did not want to go through that pain. Who would? He knew what was coming. Who in their body would want to do that? He didn't want to in his flesh, but he wanted to in his spirit. He knew it was right. But the devil came and tried to tempt his flesh and tried to tempt his mind and tried to tell him, just give up. The word of God isn't true anyway. You know, doesn't it say this? Doesn't it say that? That's not true. That's not true. That's not true. This is the truth. This is the truth. And Jesus said, no, the word of God says this. No, my Father said this. That's how we take the thoughts into captivity. Every time we say, no, word of God says this. It's like we took that thought and it can't go any further. The imagination is cast down. It's not going to turn into this tragic situation. It's not going to be the way we turn. It's going to be cast down so we can just go on. I had to cast down that thought of crashing today. I had to cast it down instantly so it couldn't go anywhere. I said, no, I'm making it there. I'm not, God's, with long life I will satisfy you. I'm not going to crash. I'm not going to die. Nothing's going to happen. Everything's going to be good. Praise the Lord. So we need to test the thoughts. Does it give you peace? Does it give you hope? If not, it's not of God. Does it give you fear? Then it's not of God. Does it tell you that you're going to die? Then it's not of God. Does it tell you that you're sick and you're never going to be healed? It's not of God. Whatever is of God. Does it tell you you're going to be poor, that your bills aren't going to get paid? Well, then it's not of God. So we need to test the thoughts. We need to answer back with the word of God. We're not going to be able to do that, though, unless we get into the word of God. We've got to make sure that we are feeding our minds with the word of God. Now let's talk finally about our spirit, the one who we truly are. I love this. This is the most vital part of us. It's who we really are. This is us, that spirit person. Go ahead and turn to Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12. I love the word of God. I love it. Praise the Lord. Your spirit wants to do what's right, your spirit. You know, the Apostle Paul said, I want to do what's right, but for some reason, you know, I still have this temptation to do wrong. Now, those are my words, but he said it. He said, I know which way to go. I know who I want to be. I know what's right. I know which way to choose, but I constantly battle this. Well, we're in good company. If you deal with it, you're in good company, because we all do. We all battle doing what's right. And it's difficult for human reasoning to know that every single person deals with this, and we can choose not to. We can choose not to. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God tells you who you really are. The word of God tells you if it's a thought or if it's the true spirit in you. The word of God can separate. It's so sharp. It knows exactly what to do. It knows exactly the answer. It knows exactly the way to guide. It knows exactly the solution to every single thing that you go through. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, the true you, the word of God. So if you don't know the word of God, then how could you ever know the true you? You can't. God gave us the word so that we would know how he made us, We would know how to live. We would know what he promised us. We would know how to get there. We would know when we were on this earth how to make it through. God gave us the Word of God for that. We aren't going to know it if we don't get in the Word of God. If you're never reading your Bible, then you don't know. One day a week is not enough. If you ate food one day a week, you'd be hungry, you'd be starving, and your body would start to see the effects of that. If you only fed yourself the Word of God while you were at church on Sunday morning, and maybe half of that time you were sleeping, ouch, hallelujah, you're not going to be full, and you're going to be, you know, your spirit's going to be lacking. So we need to be careful about that. We need to feed ourselves the Word of God. We need to make sure we understand who we really are. You know, and the Word of God doesn't make sense to our mind. It doesn't make sense to our body. You know, when we started this church in April of 2014, we started in the conference room of the Chautauqua Suites. It was a hotel. You had to walk through the lobby, and you had to get back into this conference room, and it was awkward. We had never pastored before. Our children were young. Our worship team was a 16-year-old who barely had any experience playing guitar, no experience singing at all. We didn't know if anybody was going to come out. We didn't know, naturally speaking, it was like, who's going to come to a hotel for church? Nobody even knows us. Why would they even come to listen to us? And we don't even know what we're doing. That's what we thought. That's the thoughts that came at us. We were prepared. You know, in the family churches, the preparation comes in all the years of serving and all the years of sitting under your pastor and all the years of doing what it takes to be in the ministry of helps. You know, that was what we had done for many, many, many years, but we were never the ones behind the pulpit until we got sent out. And that was the Lord, you know. But anyway, our thoughts were, why are we doing this? Why would we come to this hotel and start this church? People can just drive if they want to. They can drive a half hour. They can drive a half hour, you know. But we knew it was the will of God. So our spirits obeyed, and we came anyway. You know, we got our flesh and our mind in line with the Spirit, and we came anyway. And at that time, we could have never foreseen this beautiful building. We could have never foreseen people being healed of cancer in our midst. We could have never foreseen people who once were in broken marriages now have marriages restored in heaven on earth. We could have never seen children filled with depression and hurting themselves changed and living for the Lord. We could have never foreseen that, going to that weird hotel conference room with nobody that we knew, barely anybody that we knew except for a few people coming with us to help serve. We could have never foreseen any of that. Our mind would have said, duh, don't do it, you're stupid. But our spirit said, go, do it, do it. And our lives are changed because of it, and so many lives of the people here are changed because of it. See, our spirits want what's right with the Lord. Our spirits want to go with him, and our mind will try to war against that. Our spirits don't understand salvation. Our minds don't understand salvation. Our spirits are the only ones that understand that. I got saved in my car leaving the expressway in Fredonia in September of 2005. I'm driving in my car. I get off the off-ramp of Fredonia. I had heard how to be saved two times in family church, and I didn't dare to raise my hand because I thought it was crazy. And I'm driving off the expressway, and I'm like, I want this. I want to be saved. I want this. So I said the prayer, and I believed, I don't know how this works at all. It doesn't make sense to my mind. How do I say this? How do I do this? And it works. And now I get to go to heaven. In my mind, it didn't make any sense. But in my spirit, the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirits that we're the children of God. I knew I'm saved. I'm a Christian. And you know how else I knew? I went home and I wanted to read the Bible. I wanted to know about that. I wanted to go to church the next time so I could find out a little more about what all of this means and who God really is. And I knew because there was a change in me. See, my mind told me this is weird. This doesn't work. But in my spirit, I knew the truth. Amen? Genesis 2:7. The word is good. The word is so good. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. That was when God put our spirit in us. He breathed life into us. He put the spirit inside this vessel he created. That was the moment. That was the moment mankind was created. He created us to be a spirit, and we have a body that we live in, but the spirit is who we truly are. And I love this. It's the breath of life breathed right from the Lord himself. God breathed right from his own life into us. That's how we were created. Don't we want to live like he intended us to live? Don't we want to live and be the one he breathed into us? Why would we just live for the mind and for the body? We want to live the spirit. We want to be the one he breathed into us, the life he formed into us. I love that. Praise the Lord. In Proverbs 20:27, this is so good, so good. It says, the spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. The spirit is what is really inside of us. It's the life that God breathed into us. I wish I could open everybody's heads and just stick it in there so you understood how good God is that he breathed life into us. He didn't do that to anything else. He did that to us. He breathed life. He breathed a spirit into us so we could live this hidden man of the heart, inner depths of our heart, like that Russian doll. And you get to the little center, and that's who we really are. And you know they say that big, powerful things come in small packages. It's the truth. The Spirit is the most powerful thing that we have to offer, the Spirit in us. And we need to tap into that power. We need to be living according to that power. Why are we doing things just according to our flesh and our mind? Why aren't we tapping into the Spirit? So important. You know, I want to tell you how the Lord deals with you. The Lord will deal with your spirit. He'll bear witness. That's what it means. It means he'll bear witness. Have you ever had like a gut feeling? Just something that said, oh no, something's not right. Now, all mankind has had gut feelings. All mankind has had gut feelings. But as you're a Christian, when you're a Christian, the Lord will deal with you, and you'll be able to tap into that leading on a regular basis. Yeah. It won't just be like an intuition of danger, but it'll be like, oh man, the Lord's dealing with me about something. And most of the time it comes in the form of a lack of peace. God deals with us with a still small voice, and that still small voice is peace or no peace. That's most of the time the Lord will communicate you with peace or no peace. You know, through the Word of God, of course, but in your spirit is what I'm talking about. So, you know, several years ago, Pastor Nancy Dufresne told us this true story of this young college-age girl who had planned a trip to a football game with a bunch of her friends. And it was a trip where they had to drive across, you know, several states, and it was a trip they had planned for a long time. It was a trip that cost a lot of money that they had saved up for, that they were going, you know, that they were looking forward to. And I don't remember if it was the night before or the morning of. This girl, this young girl, she had this, like, oh, don't go, a check, a lack of peace in her spirit, don't go. But then, you know what, her mind's, well, but my friends are expecting me, and we're going to have a good time, and I really want to go. And we've been planning this, and I took off of work, and I saved the money, and we bought the tickets, and we're sharing on the cost, and my friends are going to be mad at me, and how can I say no? But praise the Lord that she decided to go with the voice of her spirit, and she didn't go. And you know that car crashed, and every other member of that vehicle died on that trip. It was the still small voice, the peace in her spirit, the lack of peace in her spirit that saved her life. Right. Now you say, well, what about, how could God have let that happen to those other people? Because that's what people say. Well, maybe he was dealing with their heart too, and they weren't listening. You know, we need to be careful about that. You know, we need to be careful. If the Lord is dealing with your heart, you gotta be careful. You wonder how many accidents could be prevented if people listen to the still small voice. And I'm not blaming the people. Sometimes it's a challenging. Your flesh will try to take over. That was the flesh. You know, it could have been the flesh throwing the fit. Give it to me, give it to me, give it to me. This is what I want. This is what I want. I don't care. But she gave in to her spirit, not to her flesh. Look at Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Oh, be thankful for the peace of God. Be thankful that the Lord leads you that way and guides you that way. Oh, be thankful, and let that peace rule in your heart. Let that peace be the determining factor. Let that peace tell you yes or no. God will lead you with that. And it is not hard to follow peace. You know when you don't have peace. You know when you're going somewhere and you've got I shouldn't probably be here. You know if you're in a relationship and it's not good. You know it. The Lord will deal with your heart about that. The Lord will tell you. He'll tell you with a voice of peace. And we need to strengthen our spirits, and we need to get better at listening by being quick to obey that voice. Quick. I think I wrote this down here. Let me see. It should be common for a believer to be checking their inward witness for peace and clarity of God on the inside. And win the battle of the mind by practicing quick obedience. The quicker you obey your spirit and your inward witness, the better off you are. The quicker you obey, the better off you are. When there's no peace, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Years ago, I woke up in the morning, and I'm not somebody who likes to play hooky and call off from work, and it's not easy for me to do that. I'm a school teacher. I've got all day kids going to be in my room, you know? And so I'm not somebody who does that, and it's very, very, very rare that I would wake up in the morning and then call. Typically, if I'm having symptoms, I will call the night before just to make sure everything's in order, just to make sure everything's in order for the classroom. But this one morning, years and years ago, I woke up, and it was like, don't go to work today. And I had no physical symptoms. I had nothing going on in my body. There was no natural reason why I wouldn't want to go. In fact, I had a whole lot of stuff planned. And it's harder to miss a day of work as a teacher than it is to be there, because you've got to write all these lesson plans for somebody else to try to teach when you already know what you're doing, right? But I knew, don't go. And I said to my husband, I don't know why, but I just feel like I'm not supposed to go to work today. And he's like, well, then don't go. I'm like, but I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, how am I going to have to do all this work? I don't know. How do I not go? Like, what am I going to do? And I had to write all these plans, and I had to email them, and I had to call, and I had to say, I can't come in today, and all this stuff. And the whole time, I had no idea why, except for a lack of peace. So I stayed home. I felt better. As soon as I made the decision to stay home, peace was there. I go into work the next day, and I find out that at the exact time that I would have been arriving at my classroom, at the exact time, I'm the first one in the hall, the first door open. At that exact time that I would have been there, and my door would have been open, and I would have been the only one in the hall, no kids are there yet, it's early in the morning, praise the Lord for that, there is a strange man, an armed man, came through and would have come into my room first, but my door was closed. And so he walked down the hall, and he went into the room across the hall from me, who is not a Christian, and he started saying weird things to her, and he started, she knew that something is not right here, and she had to call for help. Later, he came back, and he changed, and he came back, and he tried to get into the school a couple other times throughout the day, but it was taken care of, praise the Lord. But I believe this, that the Lord warned me about that. Had he have come into my room operating obviously under demonic influence, what would he have done to this Christian standing there? What would he have tried to do? Yeah. He was armed. He was acting crazy. He was squirrely, and he would have come into my room, and I would have been alone. Now, I don't know what would have happened. God didn't show me what would have happened, but something could have happened, and he kept me home and kept me safe. And there was no natural reason. There was nothing that would have told me to stay home except for a lack of peace in my spirit. That's how we obey the Spirit. I don't know what would have happened. Everybody was safe at the school. Everybody was fine. The school is very, very safe. They take care of things instantly. Yeah. They do. But the doors are unlocked before the kids get there. You know what I mean? They're unlocked until people come in the building. But of course, it's a very safe school. I never speak badly about, you know, my place of employment. They're very safe. But had I had been there and he would have come into my room, what would he have tried to do? Especially if the devil let him know, you know, this is a Christian. And I'm just saying, I obeyed, and nothing bad happened to me. But it could have. What if I wouldn't have obeyed? What if I would have gone and I had that check and I ignored it? I don't know. We need to make sure that we follow that voice of the inward witness. Let's end here at Job 32:8. Praise the Lord. It's the truth. You won't know the divine plan for your life. You won't know the safety. You won't know the way to go without paying attention to your spirit. The world stumbles. They try to figure things out on their own, and they don't know where to go, and they have trial and error all the time. But if you listen to the Spirit and the inward witness, and you obey, and you're quick to obey that lack of peace, you're quick to obey that peace, then you will be guided in the right direction every time. Every time. But we've got to get sensitive to that. We've got to make sure that we're feeding our spirits so we're in tune with what our spirits are trying to tell us, and our mind and our flesh isn't too loud for us to hear that. You know, if you're building up your body and you're building up your mind so much, your spirit, that little one on the inside, if it shrinks because we're not giving it any food or any attention, we're not feeding it, then it's not going to be the voice we hear. But we want to make sure it's the voice we hear. Amen? Hallelujah. So Job 32:8, but there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. The Holy Spirit, the Lord himself, gives us understanding, and he gives it to us by our spirit. Our spirit is the one who helps us understand the word of God. Our spirit is the one that helps us know which way to go. Our spirit and God, the life of God, the breath of God, the Almighty God himself, the Holy Spirit, leads us through our spirit. Isn't that awesome? Yes, your mind may not understand that, but it's the truth of the word of God. So I hope you saw today that you are a spirit. That is you. That's who you really are. That's how God communicates with you. That's how God will lead you into things to come. That's how God will take you into the right place every single time. But your mind and your flesh, they war against that. They don't want you to be built up in spirit because they want to win out. They want to win every time. But we want our spirit to win every time. Amen? Win the battle by practicing quick obedience. The quicker you obey your spirit and your inward witness, the better off you will be every single time. Amen.